Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, well, well. Hello, 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 everyone that has tuned in so far. My name is Elder Taylor, Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV, to be exact. And I just like to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone that has tuned in to another episode of Praise Tabernacle Bible Study on a Tuesday night. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to our panel that has tuned in so far. I believe it's Evangelist Bluette, Elder Bluette, Minister Tolbert, and Evangelist Stanton, Elder Oliver. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to you guys. I just want to say on behalf of me and my family, I just want to say thank you. And I love you guys and all that you do for our ministry and for our Bible study every Tuesday. I just wanted to put that out there, give you guys a shout out tonight, and just let everybody know that's tuned in that you know who you guys are. So we got a great speaker tonight, another dynamic speaker. I love the teaching that she brings forth each and every night or each and every time she teaches, as I do with all of our panel members. And I just want to say I hope we get some people that can tune in, and I pray that you get what you need from the Lord tonight through our teaching, through our input. And I just want to say thank you, Evangelist Dove Stanton, for teaching. She will be our teacher tonight and our Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. And I just want to say, the floor is all yours.
Thank you, Elder, and to God be the glory. We give honor and praise and glory to God that he bring us together each week. It's not of ourselves, but of him, and because of his word and the excitement of being able to just to share God's word with others. And I'm sure I could speak for the panel in that we give God all the glory and all the praise for everything that he does in and through us. We are so excited that you all are joining us on tonight. Like I said, we just enjoy partaking the word together, going into the word, living the word each and every day, because the word is a living word, and it helps us in this walk, on this journey that we have each and every day. So I want everybody, please get your Bibles, get a pencil and paper. Like I always say, don't just take our word for it, but also study it for yourself. And in saying that, we do have one of our panelists, Elder Bluette. If you are in need of a study Bible, if you are in need of a study Bible, you can reach out to us by email at ptc4christ@gmail.com, and let us know if you would like a study Bible. Elder Bluette has put the offer out there if you are in need of a study Bible so that you can go along with us on Tuesday night if you don't have a Bible, and then also so that you can read the Word on a daily basis for yourself as well and study the Word of God. Once again, it is ptc4christ@gmail.com. Just email us and let us know that you would like a study Bible, and we will be in contact with you. Tonight, we will be coming from John chapter 15. Once again, we will be coming from John chapter 15. We're going to go verses 1 through 11. We may get through them all tonight. We may not, but we'll see. As you look in your Bible and get John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, I just want to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your mercy that allowed us to get up this morning. God, not because we've been so good or so great, but because you love us so much. And we thank you for that love on today, God, because you woke us up this morning. You allowed us to get up and see another day. You allowed us to get it right. You allowed us the opportunity to praise, to study, to praise, to worship, to encourage somebody else, God. You allowed that to happen today, God. And we just thank you for that opportunity. We pray, God, for the word that's going to come forth on tonight for this Bible study. We pray, Father God, that people's lives will be changed by this word, that they would go back and they would read and they would study, and that you would give them further revelation of the word, God, in the name of Jesus. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. We give you the praise, God, because of your love and your goodness and your patience towards us, God. We just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I submit and surrender myself unto you. I pray, Father God, for you to anoint my tongue to teach this word on tonight. We thank you for all the panelists, God. We thank you for their input, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we have couch talk tonight, somebody would say, let me run on and see what the end is going to be. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Amen. We just thank God tonight. So right before we get into our first verse, I just wanted to give you a little bit backdrop on this. Jesus and the disciples had just finished celebrating Passover in the previous chapter. And Jesus and the disciples, they left Jerusalem and went down into the Kidron Valley and up a slope of the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they were walking along the trail, they passed through some vineyards that surrounded the city. And along these vineyards were grape vines. And if we know anything about Jesus, we know that Jesus likes to speak in parables where people understand where they're at. He liked to use things that surrounded people so they could understand what his examples were coming from. And I love that about Jesus. I mean, he used the natural resources around him, soil and grapevines. I mean, that's how Jesus was. Mm-hmm. And people could relate to that. And that's exactly what is going on here in John chapter 15. So he's talking about the grapevines, but he's relating that to him being the true vine,
mm-hmm.
God the Father being the husbandman, which is the gardener, and the branches, which are us. So it starts off, and I like to read 15, 1 through 11 real quick first, just in case somebody don't have a Bible. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And I am reading from the King James Version. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I know we heard a lot of abides and a lot, but this to me really is a very encouraging passage of scriptures. It really is. Because Jesus is talking about, once again I said, him being the vine, the true vine. And we're the branches. And God is the husbandman. And Jesus is saying the connection that we have with him is so intimate and so close and is so powerful that if we remain with that connection to the vine, then we can make it. Because the vine will give us everything that we need. And I just want to kind of say that before I even get into the scriptures. It's a very powerful connection. Because when you are connected to the vine, no matter what comes along, you have a connection that is forever. It's there. It's strong. But there's things you're going to have to do, too, to keep that connection strong. But if you do them, and if you stay connected, you can make it through. Because you'll get everything that you need with this connection. So verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So Jesus is calling himself the true vine, because he is true life flowing in the branches. He is the one who imparts eternal life. Now, I thought it curious he used the word true vine, because you know what? There's going to be counterfeits that try to come to be that vine for you. But it's, there are counterfeits that try to come. But the true vine we would know is Christ. I mean, there's others who try to come and said, I'm the way. But only Christ has said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. And it says, my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman is the gardener. He is the one who prunes and prepares and develops the branches. He develops the grapevines. And I went and I was kind of looking at what a gardener does with grapevines, and it's very intricate work. They haven't even created a machine that can go in to do the work with these grapevines. It has to be done by hand. It's very tedious. The gardener goes in. He looks at the, make sure the vines are good, make sure the branches are good. He checks to see if the branches are laying on the ground. He checks to see if the branches are on the trellis, because they put branches on the trellis. He makes sure the heights are good. He goes in. He does the pruning, which we are going to deal with this in the scripture. He does the pruning. He has shears, very, very sharp shears for the pruning. So the gardener does a lot of work to make sure the vine is good and, most of all, the branches are good. So I just want you to get this in your head, the relationship of the vine and the branches and how God intertwines all of us and how he's there with us and for us. I mean, he's a very intricate work. He cleans it up. He cleans it up. The branch depends on the vine. And I even read somewhere the branches depend on the vine even more than the sheep depends on the shepherd, because the sheep walks alongside with the shepherd, or the shepherd walks alongside the sheep. But with the vine and the branches, we have to be connected.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be connected. And verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We must be rooted in him and not rooted ourselves. If we will bear fruit of God, if we're going to bear the fruit of Christ, of God, we have to stay rooted in him. So it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there are some branches that are growing, or there are some branches that may have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but there may be things in their life to make them turn away from God. There may have been some situations. There may have been some circumstances. There may have been some anger that have turned them away. So they're not bearing fruit as they should. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth. So if we are bearing fruit, he cleans us up so that we can continue to bear fruit and bear more fruit. Because that's mm-hmm. what God has called us to do.
That's right.
God never prunes or trims just to take something away. He prunes and trims to take away because he has something for you that's better, and to allow the fruit to grow.
Right.
The purpose of the vine is to bring forth fruit. And I wrote, the fruit that we should be bearing are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. Those are the fruits that we should be bearing. But there's other fruits we also should bear. We should minister to other people. That's a fruit.
Right.
When we minister to other people, when we encourage other people in the word, when we allow our light to shine, those are fruits that we're bearing. When we allow our light to shine in front of others so that they can see what this hope is. And when God prunes us, what he does is he takes out the bad so that it can be replaced with the good. He takes out the root of bitterness and replaces it, prunes it. He takes out hatred and he replaces it with love. He takes out fear and he replaces it with faith. He takes out anxiety and he replaces it with peace. That's what happens when we are being pruned so that that fruit can grow. The fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace. That's what happens when we're being pruned and purged by the husbandman, the gardener. That's what happens. Does anyone have anything to say about verses 1 and 2?
I do say anything tonight because I want to listen to this. Great teaching, great revelation on it. We can apply this teaching, I promise you. But I just thought when you were saying, I can't do it word for word what you said, but we're the fruit, and we should, like, teach others or something you were saying. But what came to mind was fruit is produced by its own seed.
And
it just came to me that way, that as we go about in life, having been pruned by God, as we go on in life, we should plant other seeds also of the same fruit that we are of. Yeah, I like that. So on our jobs, in Walmart, anywhere you're at, your character and the type of fruit you are should speak for itself.
That's right.
We should attract others, or in our walk again, how we, our character is and how we carry ourselves through the day, be it at work or anywhere you are. And the more that people see you more and more, and they see the same fruit, the same person, that's when our seeds start planting. You cannot go out there looking for a perfect person to try to turn over to God. You can't do it. A seed has to be planted, and there's no light where it's planted. And that's what the Spirit did. There's no light. So the seed has to be buried so it can be nurtured by the soil, even by the sin around it. Has to be nurtured, that good thing. So And so we ought to bear some seeds, because fruit reproduces itself. All right, go ahead.
That's good,
Elder. And wow, I mean that was on. That's great. I like to tell people, especially with your words. I tell people, think about your words as being seeds. And every time you speak, the seeds are coming out of your mouth. and they're being planted around you, what would the garden around you look like with the seeds that come out of your mouth?
That's good. That's good.
I tell people that. So it just reminds me, even with our words, you know, what are we speaking? So what kind of garden are you walking around with? Is it a live garden or is it a dead garden? Thank you, Elder. That was a great way to say it. It was a great way to say it because it's so true. We are produced by those seeds that we ourselves carry around. Verse 3.
Go ahead. Lady Beth, real quick, a lot of times as Christians, we don't like the pruning.
Yes.
Okay. We want to look pretty. We want to do certain things. We want to be out front. We want to do certain things. But when God starts taking stuff away and pruning you because it's no good anymore, it's withering, we would prefer to hold on to what we have instead of growing into something that he's trying to prepare us to be, if that makes sense.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because our flesh becomes comfortable.
Anything, your hair, your ends have to be clipped in order for it to get the full growth of your hair. If your fingernails are raggedy, you know, you have to trim your nails as well. Nobody wants to be trimmed back. Christians don't like to be trimmed back. They don't want to sit down, get themselves together. They don't want to sit down until they get themselves together. They want to continue to just, you know, doing what they're doing, and they're out of order. And it's going to show where God is trying to show us in his word. Okay, we have to be pruned in order for us to grow. And if you're not humble enough to be pruned, you're not going to grow. You're going to keep going in the same circles. And guess what? When this word comes forth, it reminds me of stony ground. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on good stony ground. And the sun scorched it. But my thing is, we as Christians, we have to stay humble. We have to stay humble. Amen. We have to be, you know, in a place where we can be pruned, you know, for God to prune us and to just be still. Until he finished pruning us, cleaning us up,
Amen.
So we can go forth Amen. Like he wants us to.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else before we go on to verse 3? Amen. It says in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And this is what I wrote down for that. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you had to listen to God's word? You couldn't run away. All you could do was stop and listen to his voice through the scriptures. It cuts. It hurts. You could feel the sting of it. But that is the Father's pruning knife, cutting off the old self, becoming clean. We carry over into our Christian life a lot of things from our old life that is not Christ-like. We brought a lot of old luggage, Christ, because remember, he accepts us in his grace just like we are. He does not expect us to clean up our act before coming to him. He accepts us just like we are. And through the process, through the process of being pruned, God cuts the old man out of our lives. He cleans us up through this process of pruning. It doesn't happen suddenly for once and for all, but it takes a lifetime. He does it repeatedly and often, slowly and surely. God's word is a work in our hearts, pruning and cleansing and causing us to bear fruit. God uses and employs the circumstances and situation in our lives to make us heed and hear his word. He uses the scripture to confront our carnality and our selfishness. It's in the word. That's why we have to read. That's why we have to study. That's why we have to meditate on the word of God, because we become clean through the word. That's why it's such an important thing to have a relationship with Christ. Not just hit it and quit it, because that's not how it is. You have to build a relationship, and you build that relationship through the word of God, through Bible study, through prayer, through taking time out to read the word, through fellowship with other like-minded believers. That's how we become clean, through the word. We've got to take the time, and we got to make the time. And I think I've said this maybe a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember exactly when. But it's like we say that we don't have enough time, but yes, we do. Because we can put down the TV for an hour. We can put down the TikTok for an hour. Because I don't know, you know, how many of you actually look at TikTok. But if you sometimes if you start looking at TikTok, you'll just keep scrolling up and up and up. And before you know it, it's been half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, just being on TikTok. I've seen people do it. And it's like you say you don't have enough time, but you really do. If you need to get up half an hour or 10 minutes before the time you need to get up, do that. If you need to go to bed 10 minutes later or half an hour later, do that, because through the word, we become clean.
Yep.
Through the word. Does anyone have anything to say about verse 3 before we move on to verse 4?
Just verse you're clean four. through the word.
Yes.
You can't get clean if you don't read it.
Exactly. It do say through the word.
Through.
Amen.
The word.
Right.
We have to do nothing else but the word. We want to get around it. Like you said, that's why I don't even have TikTok and all that stuff on my phone. Everybody's trying to get me to download. I don't do downloads. But through the word. Through the word.
Right.
There's no way around it. It's through the word, which I have spoken unto you.
Right. Right. And how do you know what Christ has spoken unto you unless you read the word? Because, that's why I always say, don't just take our word for it. Don't just take the TV evangelist's word for it.
That's good. That's right.
Don't just take YouTube pastor word for it. You have got to get into the word which I have spoken unto you. How do you know exactly that's what Christ has spoken unless you read the word for yourself? The scriptures even say, study to show thyself approved. You have to study for yourself. And like Evangelist said, through the word, go into the word of God and see what Christ has spoken, and just don't take our word for it.
That's right.
Verse 4, verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, that verse actually starts with a commandment. He says, abide in me.
Right.
You to abide in him. You can't do this apart from him. You have to abide in him. And then it says, and I in you. How sweet it is that Christ is telling us, if you abide in me, guess what? I'm going to be with you. I'm
yep.
going to be in you. If you abide with me. See, you're not going to be by yourself. Because guess what? I'm right there.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, he didn't leave us comfortless. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Abides in us. So if we abide in him, remember, just think in your head that vine and that branch, and that branch is in that vine. That's how it is with Christ in us. And we're getting everything that we need. We're getting everything we need. The branch has to abide on the vine in order to produce fruit because of what it receives. It needs the sap, the life, the strength, and the power. A branch is lifeless and useless unless it remains attached to the vine. It can produce grapes only as it remains attached. The moment it is severed, it begins to die and becomes fruitless. Believers in Christ can produce the fruit of the Spirit only as they remain attached to Jesus and draw their life in the Spirit from him. Abiding in Christ talks about the will. It speaks to the choices we make every day. See, I make a daily choice to abide in Christ. Every day when I get up, I'm like, God, I choose you today.
Yeah.
I don't choose me. I don't choose me. I don't choose my husband. I don't choose my job. I don't choose finances over Christ. I choose him first and foremost. And as I choose him, I know that he's going to abide with me. And if I need to say it throughout the day, because, you know, the enemy will try to come against you and bring
yeah.
things against you. And I say, no, I'm choosing Christ. In other words, I'm choosing holiness and righteousness. I'm going to choose to do the right thing. I'm going to choose to tell the truth. I'm choosing Christ. I decide to expose myself to Christ, to his word, each and every day so that I can maintain that relationship of being yielded to him. I choose to read his word, to pray, to obey him, and to make myself available to him daily. This is abiding in him by allowing him to abide in us. Choose to maintain the relationship by decisions we make daily. That's a spirit-controlled person. Abiding in him daily. Daily. Because I know that if I'm apart from him, I already know what that looks like. Because I have been apart from him before I chose him,
yeah.
before I said yes to his knock at my door, at my heart. Before I said the yes, I know what it was like being apart from him. It
yeah.
stunk. It was ugly.
Yeah.
It didn't look good. My attitude was bad. I mean, I remember what it was like. That's why daily I choose to say, I choose you today. Lord, I thank you that you woke me up this morning. Because if I'm apart from him, I don't make the right decisions from him. I don't have peace. If I'm apart from him, I don't have joy. If I'm apart from him, I walk in fear and doubt when I'm apart from him. Daily, abide in the words it says in 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. See, that's why I said when I'm not choosing him, I'm not bearing fruit. I'm not bearing fruit. I don't have joy. I don't have peace. I don't have self-control when I'm not choosing him. Because, see, my flesh, it wants to do any and everything that it wants to do, can do, or try to do. But I won't let that happen because I choose to abide in him. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to mess up, but my choice stay with him. My choice is to stay with him. What about your choice? Does anyone have anything to say about verse 4 before we move on?
Well, I like to say that, you know, I believe there's a scripture somewhere that says, you know, that we have to show love towards one another. And I believe that, see, the world looking at us, the world is looking at how we respond and how we react and how we deal with things that's going on in us, around us, about us. And if we're not connected, true vine, as you said, it causes us to act differently. And like you said earlier, you know what it's like to not be connected. Everybody, there's not one person in this world that doesn't know what it's like not to be connected to the true vine of Jesus Christ. Because we're born in sin, and you know, and we're shaped in iniquity. So we have to understand
right.
that.
Right.
And in order for that to go away, we have to be connected. We have to be, you know, to the true vine of Jesus Christ. And like the scripture says here, you know, through the word, you know, that we have to be cleansed. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, that will maintain us, you know, to stay cleansed. You know, and stay in his word and to encourage us and to help us, you know. So this is very great. This is a very good lesson tonight. And you know, I don't care how much we think we know the word. There's always different revelations.
Right.
To the scripture. I don't know how many times I done read the scripture throughout my life, you know, but it's tonight, it's a totally different revelation. Same word, same truth,
right?
But a different revelation for me. I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, I have a newer revelation, you know, based on this good teaching. And so it's good. And I hope somebody that's tuned in, that's listening, is getting something out of this great teaching tonight.
To God be the glory.
I just want to make one comment, lady. If you're abiding in him and him in you, to abide is to cleave or to stay close to, correct?
Yes.
So, with that being said, as kids, when we were kids, well, did we do certain things around our parents when they were close around us?
Nope.
No, we didn't. Exactly. So we have to check our relationship with Christ. If you're still doing the same thing, you know, that you would do on the playground when your parents wasn't there, you have to check your relationship with Christ. Because if you're close to Christ, if you're abiding, certain things we shouldn't be saying, certain things we shouldn't be doing. You didn't fail by the wayside.
Because he's right there, right?
Okay, because if he's right there, if you abide, why are you acting the way you're acting?
Yes.
Cause
either
not,
you ain't close to him or he ain't close to you.
You're not
and if
connected
ain't close
to him.
Each other, you're not there. I mean, it couldn't be.
You're not connected.
So check your distance. You know,
right.
Look around. See if, I mean, you got to check your distance. See if the shadow is still there. Maybe you left from under the shadow.
Well, just like Elder Taylor just said, because you're not connected. You're right, because you're not.
Exactly.
And that's, Evangelist, that was great what you just said. As children,
yeah.
Like you said, if my mother was around, I knew that I couldn't do certain things. But when she wasn't around, that's when I tried to, you know, get away with it. And it's so very true. As Christians, Christ is right there with us. But yet, we try to do things thinking nobody is seeing us, but he does see you.
Yeah.
But like you just said, you know, you're not connected. But he's right there, and he still sees you doing it.
Right. Whether we connected or not, he sees everything.
Exactly. So what's happening is that thought processes. That's why I said you have to renew your mind, because
mm-hmm.
you in your mind you're thinking nobody is watching.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what you're thinking in your mind. Nobody's watching. But you're not thinking,
and that's just,
God is watching.
Yeah. And that's just a trick of the enemy.
Yes.
No, that's that pastor salvation. Pastor ain't around, so let me do what I want to do.
Right.
You know. And see, that's what the enemy
right.
wants us to believe. There ain't nobody watching. Ain't
right.
nobody looking.
Mm-hmm. Right. But God sees you.
Yes.
God sees you.
He sees
God
all
sees
things.
You. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And, you know, it just Jesus emphasizing that relationship, him being the vine, us being the branches, abiding in him and him in us.
Yep.
The same bringeth forth much fruit. And that was the fruit that I was talking about earlier, peace, love and joy. When we abide in him, he's reminding us, for without him, we can do nothing. We're not going to have that peace. We're not going to
yeah.
have that joy. We're not going to have the strength to walk in holiness and righteousness if we don't stay with him, if we don't abide with him, if we don't realize and say, you know what, let me discern what I'm doing wrong here. Let me look at myself and say, wait a minute, let me examine this moment. In other words, what am I getting ready to do in this moment? Am I getting ready to lie? Am I getting ready to sin? Because you know it. You're thinking it in your head.
Yeah.
What are you getting ready to do in this moment? That's why we have to stay abide in him, because it's each and every moment that we make a decision, a choice, each and every moment. And you can breathe and you can stop and you can think and say, wait a minute, am I getting ready to make the right choice? Am I getting ready to make the right choice? If I abide in Christ, is this the will of God? If I abide in Christ, am I doing something that's Christ-like? For without him, I could do nothing. What's your moment like? What's your moment like? Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I wrote five things that happen. It says, if a man abideth not in me, I wrote down five things that happen if you're not abided in Christ. Number one, you're cast forth as a branch. So you're cast out. In other words, disposed of, tossed, discarded. Number two, it says withered. Withered, you become dry and shriveled. Number three, and it says, and men gather them. So number three, you are gathered, picked up, assembled, put together. And then it says, and cast them into the fire. So they gather them, and they cast them into the fire. And number five, burned, consumed by that fire. These are verbs that describe a progression for the one who doesn't abide. Cast out, number one. Withered, number two. Gathered, number three. Thrown, number four. And number five, burned. I want you to think about that. Think about that. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Are you producing fruit as a branch? Or have you in your mind thought, I'm going to be a branch some days and a disconnected branch other days? But I want to tell you something. It doesn't work like that. You're going to be a branch connected, or you're going to be a branch not connected. So what does your lifestyle look like? Does it look like a branch? Or does it look like a withered piece of wood laying on the ground, ready to be burned?
Wow.
Does anyone have anything to say about number six?
We must consider our ways.
Yep. That's good, Elder. That's good. And this, like I said, I know it seems strange for me to say that, but this is really an encouraging word. To encourage you, like Elder just said, to consider your ways. Number seven, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And I wrote it out this way. A simple way to say it for our listeners: maintain fellowship with Jesus. Keep fellowship with God active. Keep fellowship with God active. Read, that's active. Study, that's active. Pray. Fellowship with like-minded believers. Examine where you are. This is not a license for believers to treat God like a vending machine. Bearing spiritual fruit only comes when we abide in the power of Christ, and answered prayer only happens when what we pray is part of the will of God. It says you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But is it in the will of God? But you have to maintain that fellowship with Christ. You have to keep the fellowship with God active. And I keep having to stay active because you have to read. You have to study. You have to pray. You have to fast. Fellowship with like-minded believers. You have to examine, consider your ways. Submit yourself. Surrender yourself daily. Abide in him daily. Daily. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. So shall he be my disciples. Fruit that adorns a child of God will reflect on God's glory. The main mission of those who follow Christ is to produce as much fruit as possible to glorify the Father. And that goes back to what Elder Blewett was saying as far as fruit, the seeds being planted as we go along sharing with other people. So here it is. Those who follow Christ is to produce as much fruit as possible to glorify the Father. Since we cannot produce fruit by ourselves without abiding in Christ, drawing on his resources glorifies God because God does it. If God does the thing, then God gets the glory. So we have to have him in order to plant those seeds and for others to see those seeds inside of us as well, to see that fruit, to see it.
That's right.
I know we don't have much time, but verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. And Christ loves us. Continue in his love. We are to remain in Jesus' love the way that he remains in the Father's love. How? By staying close to the Father through relationship. That's how we can continue in that love. That's how we can continue in that love. Apart from him, we can't do it. We can't do it apart from him.
That's right.
And I'm going to read verse 10 and verse 11 together. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. To continue in the love of Christ, love forgives. We can only love others as Christ loved us when he loves them through us. And I thank God for that, that God loves through us. He loves through us. And the way that happens is with forgiveness, with having a sound mind, with having the love of Christ in us. And then verse 11, the purpose of Jesus' provision of joy was to prepare his followers for the future. They did not need to fear what was before them. They could rejoice that Jesus made every provision for us. He imparts joy, the same joy that Jesus had in his life. He wanted for his followers. His desire for them was to have the joy of a fruitful life in time and even after his departure. So that's something that Christ left for us, a fullness of joy, that even with everything that he had to face and everything that we have to face, because we are the branches connected to the vine, we still have a fullness of joy, no matter what. So I just want to encourage everybody that's listening on tonight. If you have gotten disconnected, get reconnected through repentance.
Yes.
Repent. Get back connected to the vine, because the vine has all the sustenance you need to live. The vine has everything that you need, and get back actively abiding in Christ by praying, reading the word, studying, getting with like-minded Christians to fellowship. God is right there waiting on you, waiting on you. Get reconnected. And with that, Elder Taylor, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
All right. All right, Evangelist Dove Stanton. I thank you on behalf of the panel, Praise Tabernacle Church, for your great teaching tonight, as always. We have to get connected, stay connected to the true vine of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read verse 12 because I really like this one. This is my commandment. He said, this is my commandment. Jesus is saying, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that will help us, because if we can't treat people right and we can't do people right, we have to check to see if we still connected.
Amen.
We can't love people the right way, we have to check to see if we still connected. You know, because he said this is his commandment, that we love one another as he has loved us. In verse 12.
Amen.
So in my Bible, this is all, this whole chapter is written in red.
Yes.
So that means that this is Jesus talking. This is not one of the disciples. This is nobody else talking, but Jesus himself is doing the talking. So thank you, Evangelist Stanton, for a good word tonight. I know that, like I said earlier, I got another different revelation out of this word. And I've read this scripture I don't know how many times, but I got a different revelation tonight. You know, and you know, and it doesn't matter if you just what you call yourself, what your title is, how high you think you up or how low you think you down, or whatever the case may be, we have to show, because the world is looking upon us. The world is looking at us and seeing not only at how we treat the people of the world, but how we treat each other through the church, through the ministry. You know, and so how we treat our brothers and sisters, do we love them? You know, do they love us? Are we humble because of the love of the Father? So these are things I think we have to consider
and always consider our ways. So, again, very good word tonight. I give God all the glory and give him all the honor for a great word tonight through Evangelist Stanton. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to our very own Elder Victor Blewett to dismiss us for the evening.
Amen. Great lesson. Great lesson. I heard you mention, Elder Taylor, about Revelation. Me and Evangelist Stanton had a very conversation a week ago. How God will reveal revelation to her, and you just confirmed it as far as having a different understanding. Because we can all study to teach, we can all study and get our information together and try to teach it. We can teach the basics. God that gives us the revelation to explain it several different ways and have the same meaning. But great lesson, great lesson, great lesson. So I want to read this right quick before we do get out of here. In 2 Peter, verse 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, where it says, all right, let me get over here. All right, so in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, where it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, far from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. In other words, get in your word, get in the knowledge of God. Let Jesus take care of you when it comes. Concerns his father, because if it was just up to his father, which is God, I don't think things would be like they are right now, if they even would still exist. But because of the grace and mercy of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, whispering in his ear about you and me, we're still living yet today. Again, thank you, lesson. Great word. That's a powerful chapter in John. But at this time, I'm going to let, if you don't mind, Elder Tate, I'm going to let my wife dismiss us and close us out.
Okay. All right. No problem.
Thank you.
Well, Father God,
all right, thank you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the word, Lord God. We know that the pruning is necessary, Lord God, to get our full potential, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you. We know, Lord God, that we can only be cleansed through your word, Lord God. Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, that we know that we have to abide in you, Lord God, so we can get the things that we want and that we need to be successful in this life, Lord God, to be a light that you have called us to be, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, and we just want to be a reflection of you, Lord God, so we can draw others, Lord God, with the love of you, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you for everything that you're doing for each and every one of us, Lord God. Use us for your glory, Lord God. We pray that this word, Lord God, touch somebody, Lord God, to help them walk right and talk right, Lord God, and abide in you, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that this word has fallen on good soil, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you for everything that you're about to do, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for the hearts and the minds of your people, that they want to serve you, Lord God. Keep us humble, Lord God. Keep us humble, Lord God. Help us to stay focused, Lord God, so we can abide in you, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you again, Lord God, for your joy and your peace and your understanding, Lord God, of your word and the revelation that we've got through your word, through Lady Dove on tonight, Lord God. Continue to just draw us near you, Lord God. We know that we stay and abide in you, Lord God, that anything that we do, anything that we put our mind to, Lord God, in your will, Lord God, that we can do, Lord God, continue to just lead us and guide us, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you, and we praise you for every listener on tonight, Lord God. And as we always read Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. On behalf of Praise Tabernacle and our pastor, and his wife, Lady Zachary, Bishop Zachary. We just want to say thank you and good night. Amen.